Anatomy and Physiology, Gulf Coast State College. We're going to continue our discussion about organic chemistry by taking a look at lipids. We're going to break it down on this slide. First of all, lipids are composed of three of the four major elements that we find in the human body, and they include hydrogen, oxygen, and carbon. Remember, our mnemonic up until this point in time was HONK, but we're going to have to change that to HOCK. Now, I'm not immune to stooping to third grade bathroom humor, I guess, if it helps us to remember stuff, but in the old days, when I was like in third grade, they would say HOCK a loogie or something like that. But I guess that helps me remember lipids are made of HOC, because lipids, you know, are kind of greasy and snotty, and that's how the mnemonic HOCK helps me, okay? So maybe that'll work for you, maybe it won't, but if not, you come up with your own. Unlike carbohydrates, they do not have the 2-to-1 ratio of hydrogen to oxygen. If you remember the general formula on carbs, this is another difference between lipids and carbs. Most lipids are insoluble in water. That means they do not dissolve in water, since they are hydrophobic. Hydro again means water, phobic means fear of, so lipids are afraid of water. So that's why a lump of lard doesn't dissolve in a glass of water. That's why when you shake up a bottle of salad dressing, you notice the oil separates and floats to the top, and the water settles to the bottom, because they don't like to mix with one another. Therefore, lipids need help to travel in our blood. We'll learn that blood plasma is 92% water, and oil and water don't mix, so how are we going to transport lipids to where they're needed? And yes, our cells need and our tissues need lipids, even though they get sort of a bad rap on TV and stuff and in the news. But we got to get lipids to where they're going. And to get lipids from point A to point B, so to speak, they're often combined with what's called a transport protein. And if we sort of surround our lipids that we absorb into our systems with proteins, that allows the lipids to be transported to where they need to go. That leads me to something very important that we need to know about. In the news, we hear all the time about HDL versus LDL. What are they? HDL stands for high density lipoproteins. This is typically called the good cholesterol. I remember it because it starts with an H. It's the happy or the good cholesterol. LDL stands for low density lipoproteins. That's typically called the bad cholesterol. And I remember it because it starts with an L, and L stands for lousy. So LDL is the lousy or the bad cholesterol. What makes it so? Well, just so it turns out that HDL, that kind of cholesterol, is transported in the form of lipoproteins. It's transported to the liver, and the liver puts it in this green juice that you might know is called bile. Bile gets squirted into our intestines, and then out it goes of our body through the feces. So HDL is good cholesterol because it's a way to get rid of cholesterol out of the body. What about LDL, or lousy or bad cholesterol? Well, those lipoproteins carry that cholesterol to our tissue cells. Now, our tissue cells need it. We'll learn about how tissue cells need different types of lipids, including cholesterol. We wouldn't be able to live without cholesterol in our cell membranes, for example. But If you have too much of the bad cholesterol, then it starts to get deposited in the walls of our blood vessels, like in our heart and in our brains, and then it blocks the blood vessels down and can cause things like strokes and heart attacks. So that's the difference between the good and the bad cholesterol. Now let's take a look at some of the various types of lipids. We already mentioned one being cholesterol, but there's more than that. So here comes a pretty big laundry list of different types of lipids, but don't worry, I have a mnemonic I think will help you remember some of this stuff. First type of lipid I want you to know is steroids. You've heard of steroids. We all heard of steroids. Well, steroids are actually a type of lipids, and all steroids are derived from cholesterol with a red star. Sounds like a test question? May or may not be. It's just important to know that all steroids are derived from cholesterol. As a matter of fact, cholesterol itself is considered a type of a steroid lipid. It is made in the liver with a star. As a matter of fact, most of the cholesterol in our body comes from the liver, not from in the foods that we eat. Cholesterol gets a bad rap, but again, we couldn't survive without it. Yes, too much is bad, but we need it. It forms a critical component of our cell membranes that keeps them nice and pliable. We'll learn about that when we study cell structure and function. Another type of a steroid lipid is vitamin D. That's right, vitamin D is actually a steroid lipid. Next type of a steroid lipid I want you to know are the sex hormones that you learned in eighth grade health class. The male and female sex hormones like estrogens and testosterone, for example. And the last kind of a steroid I want you to know are bile salts. Bile salts, very important. Again, made by the liver. They contain cholesterol like all the steroids do. And what's fascinating to me is bile salts, which are lipids themselves, are needed to absorb lipids. We'll learn in the digestive section that we cannot either digest or absorb the lipids that we eat without bile salts. So it's kind of weird, right? We need lipid to absorb lipid. So what are the implications of this? Well, if we don't have enough bile salts or the proper amount of bile salts, which again are derived from cholesterol, we won't be able to absorb all these lipids that we're talking about. So lipids shouldn't get such a bad rap. Well, let's stop right there, because some of you are thinking, man, that's a lot of stuff to remember just under steroids, and we haven't even finished all the lipids yet. So I have a little mnemonic set up here to help you remember this. I put it up here this way in order. How do you remember the steroid lipids? Well, you remember C, V, S, and B, S. CVS, like in the pharmacy. I'm not plugging the pharmacy in any way. It's just a memorization technique. The C stands for cholesterol. The V stands for vitamin D. The S stands for sex hormones. And then we have BS. And of course, BS stands for bile salts. So in order to remember the steroids, just remember CVS and a little BS. Okay, let's move on to number two on the list of lipids, and those are the fat-soluble vitamins. That's right, some vitamins are classified as lipids. What are they? You should know them by heart. They are, number one, vitamin D, which we already mentioned, then vitamin E, then vitamin A, then vitamin K. And I put them up there that way on purpose so I could remember it. It spells D-E-A-K, or DEAK. And I just picture that I have a friend, and he's a rather large fellow, and his name is DEAK. So I remember the fat-soluble vitamins are D, E, A, K, because I have a rather large friend, and his name is Deke. Now we're getting to the heart of it. The third lipid on our list are fatty acids, and fatty acids are used to synthesize two main category of lipids in our bodies called phospholipids and triglycerides, which we will spend a large amount of time discussing. Number four lipid is indeed phospholipids. Phospholipids are major components of our cell membranes. We could not live without them. And last but not least, number five on the list are triglycerides. And triglycerides are the most plentiful lipids in the body and the diet. Let's take a more in-depth look at one of the major lipids in the human body, and that's phospholipids. And I love the name phospholipids because, remember, in anatomy, a name often tells you something about location or function or structure. And in this case, the name helps me a little bit. Well, of course, it tells you it's a lipid, and the phospho stands for phosphate, and there's phosphate in a phospholipid. In more detail, we need to know the composition of phospholipids. They are composed of two fatty acids, which I have highlighted with these animated arrows in PowerPoint. So shaded in sort of a grayish pinkish color, these are the fatty acid tails, I call them, or some people call them fatty acid chains. And then there is shaded in green here, this is a glycerol group. And finally, here comes in green again, the phosphate group. Notice also, very important, shaded in green, I'm circling now and shown as a green ball down below. In this area where we have the phosphate group, this round structure is referred to as the polar head. Why is it called the polar head? Because it has two poles, like a battery has two poles, a negative pole and a positive pole. Here is, for example, on the phosphate group, we have a negative charge, and on another part of this polar head, we have a positive charge. So we have positive and negative charges in the polar head. Why is that important? Because since it is charged, that polar head is what we call hydrophilic. And you should write that word down, hydrophilic. P-H-I-L-I-C. Hydro means water, philic means loving, and the polar head loves water. As opposed to the fatty acid tails, which you know are hydrophobic. They don't like water. It's like oil and the water don't mix. I think of those like the French fry tails, by the way. So here's the polar head that loves the water, and here's the French fry tails, the fatty tails, that don't like water. And we'll see when we study the cell membrane, our cell membranes are composed of a phospholipid bilayer because it's two phospholipid layers sandwiched together. It's like a fat sandwich. And these light green balls are the polar heads that like the water, and they will always face something watery. They will face maybe the watery cytosol, which is the watery juice inside your cells, or maybe they'll face the watery fluid around in your cells, the fluid bathing your cells, which you'll learn later on is called the interstitial fluid. And then the French fry tails are always in the middle of the sandwich facing each other because the fat likes the fat. So that's our fat sandwich, and those are all our French fries jammed together. It's kind of like a McDonald's. All those French fries fit so nicely in that big red supersized cardboard container. We also have to know a lot about triglycerides because, again, these are the most plentiful lipids in our bodies and in our diets. they are composed of 3 fatty acids and 1 glycerol molecule. Again, the name helps you. Tri stands for 3 fatty acids, and the glyceride will remind you that there's a glycerol molecule in there as well. The fatty acids are attached to the glycerol backbone, if you will, by our old chemical process called dehydration synthesis. It is the body's most highly concentrated form of energy. As a matter of fact, they supply twice as much energy per gram as carbohydrates and proteins do. So they're an energy-rich source. Unfortunately, however, if we take in too many calories, if we have excess dietary foods, they tend to be stored as triglycerides in our adipose tissue. If you remember from earlier discussions, our body has a limited ability to store carbs, and essentially we really don't store proteins. For all intents and purposes, we don't warehouse or store proteins. So when we eat extra calories, what happens is our body stores them in our fat cells, and we have an essentially unlimited ability to store excess calories as fats in our fat cells, and that's why we can gain a tremendous amount of weight if we don't watch our diets. We're going to need to look at how we form a triglyceride, so this slide has the details we need to know. First, I put an arrow here on one of our fatty acid tails, sort of shaded again in a grayish pinkish color. And then over here to the left in green, we have our glycerol 3-carbon backbone, if you will, and then by the process of removing a water, here I've circled in yellow an H2O, by the process of dehydration synthesis, we're going to remove that water molecule and we're going to form a covalent bond, and that's how we attach each of these fatty acids to the glycerol backbone. If we do dehydration synthesis like this a total of 1, 2, 3 times, we've attached 1, 2, 3 of our fatty acids to our glycerol, and we have produced a triglyceride. We certainly can't do this section without talking about saturated versus unsaturated. You hear that all the time out in the real world. So let's try to clarify and simplify exactly what that's all about. First, some basic definitions. Saturated fatty acids are fatty acids where the carbons are saturated with hydrogens, and therefore you'll see only single bonds between the carbons. I have a picture of that coming up on the next slide as a nice visual. So, fats are triglycerides that mainly consist of saturated fatty acids. Fats are saturated fats. They are solid at room temperature. They're what we see and find in meats and in non-skim dairy products. What about unsaturated fatty acids? Those are fatty acids that contain one or more double bonds between the carbons, because the carbons are not all saturated with hydrogens. Therefore, they're called unsaturated fatty acids. Oils are triglycerides that mainly consist of unsaturated fatty acids. Oils are unsaturated fats. They're usually liquid at room temperatures. They're found in some plants and some fish. A common example we hear about is omega-3. Omega-3 fatty acids from fish, for example, are good types of fats, they're unsaturated fats, they're oils in oily fish, like wild salmon, for example. Other examples of oils that are good for you because they're unsaturated are olive oil, canola oil, and so forth. What are the clinical implications? Why is it so important? Well, you've heard that saturated fats, or what we just call fats, like meats, if we eat too much red meat with all that lard attached to it, well, what happens is those types of triglycerides, those fats, tend to get deposited in the walls of our arteries, again, like in our heart and in our brain, and cause things like heart attacks and strokes, as opposed to unsaturated fats, which do not have that tendency and therefore are more healthy for us in our diets. This slide is to try to show you what is meant by saturated versus unsaturated. So what we have here, I put a black arrow on a fatty acid that's saturated. Notice that the carbons are saturated with hydrogens, and therefore we're seeing only single covalent bonds between the carbons. As opposed to down here, I put my arrow on an unsaturated fatty acid because there is at least one double bond here between some of the carbons, and therefore those carbons also are not saturated with hydrogen. So that's the difference between saturated and unsaturated. Here's another nice visual. I hope you enjoyed it. It will help maybe bring this all together. Over to your left, a nice piece of juicy steak with a bunch of lard attached. This would be an example of fats. These are saturated fats. These are triglycerides where the carbons are saturated with hydrogens and there's no double bonds. This is the unhealthy kind of triglyceride that we just simply call fats. So that's why they say we're supposed to be limiting red meat in our diets. Over to our right, we have an example of another triglyceride, but these are the unsaturated ones. These are the oils. These are the ones where we have some double bonds between the carbons, and the carbons are not saturated with hydrogens. Maybe this is an example of olive oil, and people, you know, tell about the health benefits of olive oil. These are unsaturated fats, and these are the healthier ones for us in our diets. We certainly can't finish this section without discussing trans fats either. What in the world are trans fats? Were they just plain old bad? What companies in the past have done in order to make their food products last longer, some people think maybe taste better, they artificially added hydrogen to the triglycerides in their foods. So for example, they have some machine that hydrogenates the triglycerides. So they're essentially, when they create trans fats, they're saturating the fats, but they're doing it in a very unnatural way. Chemically, it looks different than even the normal saturated fats in our body. So they're sort of the worst kind of saturated fat. They're a man-made artificial saturated fat, and the body really kind of doesn't know what to do with them. When you eat a trans fat, I think of it like your body gets in a trance. Your body's all confused. It doesn't know what to do. As a matter of fact, the only thing it knows what to do, when we eat trans fats, these hydrogenated triglycerides, these abnormal, artificial, saturated fats, what happens is your body plunks them right into the walls of our arteries. Again, like to the brain or to the heart, it blocks them off with these what we call atherosclerotic plaques, And that's what leads to a higher incidence, again, of things like heart attacks and strokes. And that's why trans fats are especially bad fats that we're really trying to eliminate totally in our diets. There's really just no need for them. Well, that's the end of our discussion about lipids. I hope you enjoyed that. We will finish off organic chemistry next time by reviewing nucleotides.